On this side, we're going to start exploring, developing, and understanding relationship power and the secrets of relationships that can quadruple your success probability. Every day of your life, you deal with people. Since you're dealing with people one way or the other, my point of view is you owe it to yourself to get the absolute maximum yield out of the experience that you possibly can, not the least. And you got to understand that the maximum means giving so you can receive. It means developing the ability and the genuine interest to learn what the other side is all about. The best, the easiest, the most powerful way to grow yourself, your mind, your mindset, your income-producing capabilities, your understanding of what's possible, your empathic understanding of how others see situations is not to sit in a vacuum and conjure up your own idealistic view. It's to engage people in all aspects of your life, your business, and your job, and ask questions and learn about their hopes, their dreams, their points of view, their interests, their goals, their philosophies, because that's what drives this world. The more you understand, the more effective you will be. This is only possible by developing the deepest, the richest, the most interactive relationships possible. Years and years ago, I was doing a business seminar in Australia. And Australia is a very long flight. It's about 17 or 18 hours from California, where I live. And there's time differences, and you leave one day and you get there 2 days later. It's very confusing. It's very disruptive to your body, and it's not easy to go to sleep. I got in, I couldn't sleep, but I was walking around my room. I went up to the view observation deck in the top floor of the hotel. This was in Sydney, about 45 floors up, and there was a gorgeous view deck that overlooked all of Sydney Harbor. And sitting way, way in the corner of this room was a quiet, thoughtful-looking man all by himself. And I walked over and introduced myself. All I told that man was the following. My name is Jay Abraham. I'm in Australia to do a business seminar. I told him nothing else about me. He told me his name and told me that he represented a German pharmaceutical company that manufactured population control devices for third world underdeveloped countries. And he traveled the world calling on health ministers, advocating, championing, selling his firm's system as opposed to other ones. Well, I thought that was quite fascinating, and it was something I certainly had never engaged in talking about before in my life, so I was very interested. What resulted was a 90-minute, almost interrogation on my part of the man. It started asking him a battery of progressive questions that seemed logical and obvious and interesting to me. First of all, I wanted to know how he learned how to do that. Then I wanted to know how in the world they established their presence all over the world. Then I wanted to know how in the world you met a third world health minister. Then I wanted to know what they were like, whether their motives were noble, whether they were self-serving. I wanted to know all kinds of things. I wanted to know what life was like in Germany, what it was like for his children, what the cost of living was. But I just kept asking questions, and one question would take me deeper, another would take me deeper. Finally, after about 90 minutes, I realized that I hadn't slept for 2 days, and I became very tired, and I stood up, and I excused myself, and I started to leave the room because I wanted to go to my hotel room and take a nap. And he stopped me, and he said this. He said, "Jay, I've got to tell you this. You are absolutely the most interesting man I have met in the last 5 years." That grabbed me. Well, first of all I told him about me was my name and that I was in Australia to do a business seminar. I told him I revealed not one other iota of relevant information about myself, my skills, my purpose, but I was genuinely, passionately, thoroughly, totally immersed in learning all I could about him and going deeper and broader and deeper and broader and deeper and broader. And in that instant, I discovered, I think, the essence of power and leverage with relationships in life, and it's simply this. Most people have it all backwards. They're struggling and striving to be interesting when all you have to do is turn it around. If you are interested in others genuinely, you will endear yourself, you will stand out so favorably and incomparably, and you will learn so much that will broaden your understanding and your mindset and your knowledge and your power. And I strongly urge everyone listening to this tape to recognize this fact and instantly and immediately and permanently from this point forward change your attitude about engaging people in relationships. Stop telling them how great you are. Start asking them about themselves and start listening to their answers and start learning from them, not just patronizing them. And with each answer, start going deeper and asking yourself, that's so fascinating. What's the next step of depth? Deep and wide, deep and wide. If you practice this process of engaging people and being interested instead of trying to be interesting, for only a few weeks you will not believe the transformation that will occur in their view of you, in your confidence and knowledge, and in your power from yourself. I urge you to adopt this philosophy. I want to share with you right now a little secret that will help you determine the solutions to almost all your personal, career, and business challenges. It has to do with this philosophy of optimization that I shared with you on an earlier tape. And I want to explain it from a business analogy first and then draw it to your real life. Let me be far more specific. When we talk about something in business like how do you grow your customer base, many businesses only do it through having a passive referral system. Certain customers and clients will occasionally or infrequently refer others, and that's the only device they use. But when you look at hundreds and hundreds of industries like I have, you learn that here are a few of the other ways different industries have found to grow their customer bases. Some of them basically guarantee the purchase or perform risk reversal like we talked about earlier. Some of them use advertising they run in newspapers. Others use advertising they run in magazines. Others use advertising they run on radio and TV. Some basically send letters in the mail. I can go on for hours and hours with the different possibilities. What's the point? The point is that there are so many options you have available. Let me, so it's not abstract, try to draw at least some connectivity right now for you. I gave you this list of the possible ways you can grow your customers if you're a business. Well, what does that mean to you if you're trying to grow your relationships? It means you can start introducing yourself to people on a formalized basis. It means you could start writing letters to people. It means you could start an ongoing process of contacting old friends and organizations and making new friends by telephone. It means you can basically set up an ongoing process for yourself. You can host parties. You can do so many effective and powerful things other than the one limiting activity you probably have depended upon so far to get you where you are in your relationship, in your job, in your business. And by doing those things, two different results occur. Number one, you put together the combined power of geometric progression, which is what gives you these quantum leaps in enrichment, in wealth, in success. But you also learn so much, and it makes you feel so good because you've got knowledge, you grow. It's an incredible transformation that comes about automatically, instantly, almost effortlessly. When I'm talking to business owners about the folly of building their enterprise and having it founded and dependent on only one channel of revenue or activity, I use an example for them that they have built their business like a diving board platform. And the graphic image of a diving board to me is one weak little leg upon which this long wobbly board is suspended. The long wobbly board to me relative to a business represents the whole foundation of the business. The one single support represents the one single way they have depended upon growing, sustaining, driving, making that business operate. In this case, the one channel of marketing or of new customer generation. I explained to them that a diving board by its nature is not a mechanism for going up for very long. It's a device you use for going down. Consequently, I use the analogy that if your business is built like a diving board, it's only a matter of time before you dive down. and you are very exposed. If you depended upon one process to build that business, you can saturate it, you can easily have competition, emulate it, you can have changes in society, economics, regulations that can make it invalid, and you are compromised. Now I want you to take the pencil and paper, if you're home or at your office, and draw on it, first of all, a diving board. A little short line with a very long board on the top going horizontal. I want you to envision that because it directly applies to your relationship, or relationships, plural. It directly applies to your job and career. It directly applies to your business. And it directly applies to every other aspect of your life in general. Because if you're just supporting that aspect of your life with one way of seeing things or doing things or one terribly self-limiting belief system, you are compromising your ability to have so much more achievement, so much more wealth, and so much more control of your life. It is scary. So look at that drawing for a minute and then ask yourself this question. Is this me? And if the answer is yes, don't feel bad, but identify and acknowledge to yourself what that basic one mode of operation I have been operating my relationship or relationships, my job or career or my business by is. So at least you have a basis of knowing where you can grow from. Now, draw another picture on that paper, or if you've taken the whole paper, turn it over and draw on the other side. Draw your version of the famous Greek Parthenon. You'll remember, it's the building that has so many columns supporting it. You can have 7 columns, you can have 8 columns, you can have 10 columns, you can have all the columns in life you want. Think of those columns as pillars. Think of those pillars as opportunities to grow and expand the richness of your life, your career, and your business, and your financial destiny. You look at the diving board, you can see it's very self-limiting. You've got one aspect, you've got one access, you've got one mechanism driving the entirety, and you're totally dependent upon it. If you look now at the Parthenon again, you see all the possibilities. So let's look at how and what you might do in at least one illustrative situation to make that come alive. So let's presume we're talking about developing relationships, and all you've got right now are the relationships you have developed at work, and work is the pillar on the diving board. How many other ways are there? There are an infinite number of ones. First of all, you can get involved in people in your industry. That's another pillar. You can get involved with people in your neighborhood. That's another pillar. You can get involved with people who have similar hobbies or recreational interests as you. That's another pillar. You can get involved with people who have similar philosophical or political views as yours. That's another pillar. Those are who. Now let's look at how, because it's another series of pillars. Number one, you can do it by contacting organizations and gaining membership or entrance. You can do it by asking people at work to introduce you to other people who have similar interests to these other categories you've identified. You can do it by writing people and inviting them to your home for meetings or for discussions. You can do it by joining organizations. You have so many different options that could come together to give you so much more power and effectiveness and results, but you can't accomplish anything till you first recognize and identify all the options available, then organize them to decide which ones are most impactful and appropriate and powerful for you, and then implement them. All right, I'm now going to take another traditional hardcore business example and use that to demonstrate and then to introduce and bridge a powerful facet of the relationships I need you to understand. In business, when I have the chance to impact a business owner, the first thing I get them to recognize is the incredible value they have failed to recognize in their old customer relationships. Now, I don't know what you know about business, but in order to build a customer or a client, most business owners have to expend an enormous amount of effort. They might have gone and knocked on 100 or 200 or 1,000 doors to end up with 10 or 15 genuine customers. Once they ended up with these customers, in the first transaction, they expended an enormous amount of financial and human effort and capital to acquire them. After they have acquired them, presuming they performed a valuable product or rendered a valuable service, they already had goodwill. They already had a strong, a credible, an integrity-based relationship in place. Most businesses, in fact, fail to recognize how much easier and economical it is to sustain and reactivate and continue the relationship with an existing customer. Instead, most businesses go outside and try to keep building new ones and really forget or disacknowledge the enormous value and the incredible increased profitability that an old customer has. If you have 10,000 old customers, all you do is you send a letter, or you pick up the phone and call them, or you go knock on their door and you get business, enormous business from them just by asking. The same analogy or the same realization should be true to you in your relationships. You have invested massively in time, in emotion, in building these business, these personal, these career relationships. You probably have allowed some incredible assets, some enormous riches, to lie dormant because you haven't recognized how much value they hold for you. My strongest recommendation to you is to reactivate those relationships. Spend time contacting them, sustaining them, interacting with them, rekindling them. You owe it to yourself to contact and sustain and implement an ongoing process of calling, of meeting, of contacting, of interacting, of talking to, of being interested, of telling them what you're doing, because that's how opportunity presents and manifests itself. I want to use an analogy in automotive lingo to make the next point. You can pull yourself to success, but you've got a lot more leverage if a number of people are behind you pushing along the way. How do you get people to push you to the higher levels you seek to achieve? It's simple. You basically make certain that you invest your secret wealth in relationships where other people have more to gain by helping or seeing you be successful at your objective than not. Now, what does that mean? It means that when people realize that you achieving your objective or your purpose gives them a bigger or greater self-serving payoff, they're going to move heaven and earth to see to it that you get your outcome. Now, it's very abstract. Let me try to be more specific so it's evident. In relationships, when someone you're having or trying to have a relationship with realizes that your purpose and your goal is to get them what they want, they're going to move heaven and earth to help you get your result because your result is their result. When somebody in your company that you work for realizes that your goal is to make them a hero with their boss, or your goal is to make your boss or the owner more money, or save him or her money, or make them a star, they're going to move heaven and earth to see to it that you get your desired outcome because it's theirs. Does that make sense? It should, because all you got to do is put yourself in a position where you're working on relationships with people who've got more to gain by seeing you successful than not. Let me use an example of where that didn't work in my life so you can understand what I'm talking about. I had an assistant one time. It was one of the nicest people I had ever met. However, she didn't have as much to gain by me achieving my goals as I did. Why? Because she was frankly, independently well off financially, and she was bored, and she just wanted a fun, enjoyable 8-to-5 experience that would keep her from shopping too much and keep her from doing things that were not enjoyable. But she didn't want to extend herself past 5. She didn't want to do any of the things that I needed someone to do to help grow me to a higher level. after a short duration of involvement with me, she was replaced by somebody else who, frankly, didn't have her sophistication, but had enormous desire to see me succeed more and see my company succeed more, because that person realized that with my growth came her growth. With my successes came more successes with her. So you've got to recognize the goal in life is to align and affiliate and position yourself to where everybody you're developing relationships with has more to gain by helping and seeing to it that you achieve your outcome, because they clearly understand that your outcome is their benefit. I keep talking about one of the most powerful concepts or strategies from my business activities, and then I use an example that I will share with you to illustrate it. And I want to share with you one of the absolutely most powerful, and this is not meant to be humorous or a joke. It's such a powerful, powerful principle in my business activities that I am eager and anxious to share its implications with you in your personal and in your career activities. The concept is what I call host beneficiary, and it's one of the most extraordinary and overlooked exercises in harvesting and commandeering infinite leverage that you have available. Let me give you the business illustration first. The idea stems from the fact that so often in business owners struggle and expend enormous and ineffectual amounts of effort going to an outside market, trying to introduce themselves and their product and their service to people who don't know them, who don't trust them, who are uncertain about their performance, and they spend a lot of money initially getting customers. When, in fact, there are so many other companies and businesses in the world who have already gone through the years of effort, the enormous amounts of human capital, tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars worth of advertising and sales efforts and follow through and follow up, that in a matter of a blink of an eye or a heartbeat, they can go to their customers and just by telling them that they respect and trust my clients' companies, get their customers to do business with my clients without any of the time consumptive, diversionary, and expensive time, money, and capital expenses necessary to get customers from the outside market. Stated differently, why spend a lifetime trying to convince somebody to do business with you if you can spend an instant and do it immediately by going to somebody else who's already done that, spend enormous effort and time, when all they have to do is use their affinity with that customer and direct them and recommend and endorse them to you? I call that the host beneficiary. In this context, it applies directly to you. All you've got to do is say, who or what has already expended the enormous, the Herculean effort of time, of money, to develop the goodwill and the trust and the access to the kind of people or situations that I want to access in my life? You can find an organization that may have spent $10 million building goodwill, and by one phone call to them, you can get the result without any of the effort or time. That's pretty powerful leverage. You can meet somebody who's worked for a number of companies and is highly regarded, who knows what organization would treasure and value you the most and give you the greatest environment for you to grow and develop, instead of you having to make a choice just out of chance and make a mistake. That's incredible leverage. Let's talk about some of the rules, or at least the philosophy, of doing the deal. And the deal is the transaction. The deal is the approach, and the deal is the process you engage in to effect the outcome you seek. First of all, you've always got to set up the situation so it's better for the other side perceptively than you. In other words, you want to figure out what will make them the happiest, what will give them the most comfort, what will relieve them from the most risk, what will give them the greatest outcome, because only by getting them those objectives can you really get what you want. You got to be sensitive to their objectives and needs. You got to realize they may not know what their needs are, so you've got to go through this educational process to help them get a crisper, clear understanding of what they want. You've got to help them understand their own interpretive awareness of their own secret wealth so that they can demand more of themselves. Because for you to get what you want, they've got to want more of what they can get. That may sound a little confusing, but it's not. It means if people don't realize they are deserving and entitled to more richness, more achievement, more security, more of everything in their life, they aren't going to want to help you get what you want, which is the same. So you got to help transfer some of this awareness to them, and you got to take the time to educate. So your point is also to be flexible, and I've got to use a little story that taught this lesson to me. And I'll go back 7,000 miles across the Pacific to Australia once more and talk about what happened one time, because I go there about once every year or two on a trip back. First of all, it starts on the runway, on the approach to our descent. This is right, by the way, when they first developed the 747 SSP, I think 400, which were the long-distance versions that had the capacity to fly from Los Angeles to Sydney, Australia, and back nonstop. So this was the first time I'd ever flown on this plane, and the pilot announced a couple of things. First thing he said is, please don't be afraid when you watch the plane go down the runway, because it'll take almost to the entire end before it'll gain lift. Just as he said, we're moving and rolling down the runway, and I'm sweating bullets because flying is not my favorite activity and it's not lifting off. But as he said, right before we almost careened into the fence, we did lift off and we made it into the wild blue yonder, and it was a very nice flight for the first 3 or 4 hours. And then as we progressed, we encountered some very inclement weather. And it just bounced the plane all the heck over the sky. And we were up and we were down and we were sideways and we were bouncing. And I happened to have the interesting fortune of being seated on the wing. But it gave me an interesting philosophical vantage point. Well, I'd sat on the wing or I'd sat by the engine many times, but I'd never seen what there was to see. This particular time, for whatever reason, I focused on that wing and I saw something very miraculous. I saw a wing that fluxed something like 20 feet. It would move up and it would move down. I thought, this is amazing. It was a little scary, and then I realized something was scary. I thought, wow, I mean, how could it do that? And then I realized something that was much more profound. It was, what would happen if it didn't do that? And what would happen if it didn't do that is the first time we hit inclement weather that really stressed out the wing, it would probably snap and the whole plane would careen to the ground and we wouldn't be here. It taught me a very interesting life lesson, which ties directly to this concept of how to do deals, how to negotiate, how to make the process or the transaction work. It's that you have to be flexible. You cannot be rigid. And I know that may seem abstract, but it ties to so many different situations. It's a very simple and a very easy process. All you got to do is be empathic and considerate and respectful and committed and focused on seeing to it that the other side is more advantaged in their life or their situation, and believe and care about that absolutely, totally, and genuinely, and everything will work itself out. I'm going to share with you now a discovery that I have made accidentally, just through observing passively and actively all kinds of different people and situations and possibilities and scenarios in business, in relationships, in life. It's the discovery of what specific actions and personality traits make it irresistible for people to be your friend or become your most loyal and supportive business associate. What I've learned is that all you have to do is ask yourself this question. What is it about others that attracts me to want to spend time or do business with them? And when you start looking at that question and identifying it, you learn the following. Normally, it's this very simple process. They are genuinely interested in me and my life and my business, not just on a limited linear basis, but on what I'll call a holistic or a totalistic basis. The more people have a total interest in the total or holistic being, the more people are drawn to do business and have relationships with them. So your first objective in becoming a practitioner of the secret wealth principle is get outside your box. Don't look at people monodimensionally. Look at them with an eye towards the wonderful completeness that they bring to bear. Look at them in so many different capacities and engage in discussion and conduct yourself with a reverent respect for those other sides of their being and a genuine interest in what they know or have experienced or understand or are aware of that you don't, that they could share with you. That simple distinction will give you enormous power. Second, genuinely be curious. Be committed to a continual sense of discovery. Relative to that, make it a concerted commitment and a point to continuously and constantly go outside of your comfort zone. If you spend your life being an astrophysicist, do anything but astrophysics. Go to the store, go shopping, read magazines that are on anything but. Read about things you don't like, particularly what you don't like. Engage people. One of the most powerful elements, I think, of my strength and my success is the fact that I started out years ago deciding I was going to learn about everything I didn't know. I was going to go outside my box. I was going to travel outside my mindset. I'll always be interested in everything other than what I predominantly do for a livelihood because I have found, to my delight and satisfaction and fulfillment, that the power and the wealth and the freedom in life comes from going outside. So I've got a curious and a continual sense of discovery outside of my current limitations. Next, I think you've got to be willing to be vulnerable. To reveal yourself and not worry about the outcome. If I don't know something, I ask questions. If it sounds silly, I say, well, this may sound silly, but to me it seems this way. Can you answer this question? Can you help me understand that? I have learned something. I'm going to use a phrase which is going to sound a little bit awkward and maybe a little bit kinky even, but my take on life is the most wonderful process you can engage in is intellectual intercourse. It's a process of engaging minds and hearts and souls on continuous and deep penetrating levels over and over again. It's what builds the richness of relationships, and it's the most wonderful thing possible. But in order to achieve that, you've got to abandon yourself to a sense of vulnerability or intimacy, and that's not holding up and putting up your defensive. It's being so outwardly focused that you care so deeply about learning what the other side has to explain or share or know or feel that you don't worry about making yourself look bad, or you don't worry about saying the wrong thing, or you don't worry about looking cool. You just worry about learning. You worry about discovering. You learn about contributing, and that's the easiest and simple and the most powerful lesson and secret I could share with you.